My name's Mary. I'm the youth pastor here, and I like the lights like this because I can't see you, so I don't have to be nervous. But I'm really honored and very humbled to be able to speak to you guys tonight, and just want to open up in a word of prayer real quick. Okay, dear Holy Spirit, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and I just pray that you would take over at this moment and allow your heart to be shared. And your words to be shared. Open our eyes and our ears. Father, let us be sensitive to what you want to show us tonight. I pray that your anointing would be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thank you for being here. I am going to ask you one more time if everybody would mind standing up, please. And I'm going to attempt to show you what I'm going to talk about tonight. So, if you are, don't get offended, because I would be sitting down too. If you're 40 and older, please sit down. I would be sitting. I'll be honest. I'll be sitting. Don't get mad. Okay. Whatever. We got this thing, because he's real close behind me. Okay. If you are 17 and younger, please sit down. You're 18 today? Woohoo! Savannah's birthday. Happy birthday, Savannah. Okay. Now, if you are 38 to 29, sit down. Okay, at this point, I want to count you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I might have missed one of you because it's kind of dark. So we have about 17 people here that are in the age of our young adult age groups. Sit down, have a seat. Thank you so much. The reason I wanted to show this to all of us is because Truth Movement is our attempt to reach that young adult generation. What we've seen in our churches and our services is that that generation is predominantly missing from the church. And what happens is when they turn 18, and this will not be you, Savannah, because you're passionately in love with Jesus. But at that time, they have a tendency to go out into college, to get into some other things, to get liberally educated, and for whatever reason, don't find themselves in our church body. Now, there are different areas of our country that are experiencing revival right now with young people, and I believe that that's coming here to Cleveland. And we have a passion, me and Pastor Troy and my brother, Louie, and just my dad, everybody, all of us. You, I know you do, too. To reach this generation. And we need to do this now because it's just what God wants and we don't have any other choice. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, okay? The way we're going to express this is through the story of Moses. And a lot of you know the story of Moses. You know, we've seen the Prince of Egypt. We've got it all down. It's been taught to us since we were in Sunday school. But I'm going to ask you to look at it in a different way. Okay, so today we're going to go get them as Moses went into Egypt and went and got the Israelites who were enslaved by the enemy. We are going to challenge ourselves to go get them. Young adults, you 17 that are in here, go get them. Go get your peers. Go get your loved ones, your friends, your age group. But also, all of you else in here that sat down earlier, it's your job too. We are in this together, so don't check out on me if you're my age or older, okay? This is all of our job. It's all of our responsibility. So, generational synergy. This is something that I have been just wondering about and pondering on for so many months now. But generational synergy is the interaction of two or more agents or forces. So their combined effects is greater than the sum individually. And basically, we're going to talk about those two or more agents or forces being the generations. We cannot just dump this responsibility on the 18 to 28-year-olds and say, okay, go ahead, you go do your own thing. Do your church the way you like it. Go ahead. Well, if you go in this place, in this room, and we'll give you a room, and we'll give you cool lights, and, you know, we'll even hire a cool youth pastor with fancy hair, and you guys go do your thing. No, that's not generational synergy. I believe the heart of God is more than that. It's more passionate. It's more intense than that. So we're going to see how Moses actually lived this out. Okay, so Moses was born in a time where there was an attack on children. Agreed? Pharaoh was threatened by the Israelites, and he commanded that children be murdered. Men specifically. If you were a girl, you got to live, right? But men specifically. Do you know what's happening in January? It's the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. I believe that it's more than just a coincidence that this generation has been under attack spiritually and naturally because God wants to do something with these young adults. I believe they're the ones that will usher in the kingdom and just cause a great revival to sweep over our country. That's what we are going to see. But just in Moses' day, Moses was a survivor. And look in Exodus 1:22. I'm going to skip over my scripture verses. I have a lot of them, so we're going to hold on and go fast. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Remember? So there was an attack on all the babies. But this is cool. Moses' mother saw something in him and hid him. Exodus 2:2. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. And some translations or versions actually read special. When she saw he was special. I believe that as a parent of these young adults, which I am, we need to see greatness in our children, or even younger. We need to see that greatness so that it causes us to hide them from the enemy. And I'm not a proponent of the bubble. You know, we don't have to put our kids in this bubble and not let them move. But generational synergy sees worth in preservation while the preparation takes place. Moses had to be preserved from the enemy while God instilled his purpose in him. And that is very important that we understand this as parents. Now, this is going to be a little tricky tonight because I'm going to speak to young people. I'm going to speak to teenagers. I'm going to speak to young adults. I'm going to speak to our elders. All of this. And you're going to have to hold on, okay? So I'm speaking to parents right now. And it's really a whole nother message that we can talk about and get real deep in. But we have got a responsibility to see greatness in our children, to see the call of God in our kids, and not allow anything to stop us from nurturing that, from pulling that out, from seeing that to fruition. So we are going to go 40 years into the future. Moses has been preserved. And this was also by God's hand because he was sent into Pharaoh's house. So he was supernaturally preserved and prepared. But his mother was his nurse. But an encounter with God had not taken place. And this is key. You know, we can do our best, parents. We can do everything perfect. But at 18, Savannah, unless you meet that Jesus face to face and you understand who he is for you, that encounter has to happen. We can do our part, but that encounter has to happen. But Moses hadn't gotten there yet. And look in Exodus 2:11. It said, "Now it had come to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and he looked at their burdens." See, in the natural, he was engaged. He saw that there was something going on with his generation. He saw that his people were suffering, but he still had not met his God. And so it was not under the glory. It wasn't given with God's purpose. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and one of his brethren. And so he looked this way and that way, make sure no one is looking. And he killed the Egyptian and hid him in his hand. And from that moment on, his purpose went downhill because he did it the wrong way. He did it without the anointing. He did it without knowing God himself. And that's what happens sometimes. You know, we can attempt to reach this young adult generation. We can spend a ton of money on lights. You know those fancy lights that cost like $3,000 that go like this and have the cool? Too much money, right? We can hire a staff member to reach generation. We can buy a warehouse and make all the coolest things. But you know what? If God's anointing's not in it, we're wasting our time. We can have the best musicians on the stage, but if they're not anointed, It doesn't do anything. So we need to approach this in the right way with God's heart. They have to encounter him. We have got to offer of service of the glory of God. They have to encounter him. So it looks like at that point that Moses gave up. It looks like that he ran out to the country and he began a new life. He got married, had some kids. It was actually a long time. It's like 40 more years. And we would think that, you know, his purpose was over. Like, that's it. You know, plan B, you're going to be a shepherd. But God never gives up. God never stops. If we give him an opportunity to use us, he will use us. In Exodus 2:24, we find Moses, or actually we see God, is hearing the Israelites groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the first time we see God declaring himself as the God of the generations. And we're going to get more into that in a little bit. But God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. He said, I see what's going on, and my plan is still intact. But Moses was like 80 years old. But now look what happens. He encounters God for himself. He meets him face to face. In Exodus 3, he's doing his job. He's shepherding his flock, and he gets near the mountain of God. And in Exodus 3:1b, it says, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So what did Moses do? He looked, and he saw this thing, this phenomenon that was the bush was burning, but it didn't burn up. He gave God his attention. The glory deserves our attention. A lot of times we have so many things that we're thinking about, so many motives of our heart, so many goals in our life, but does God have our attention? Does he have our attention? What is on his heart? What is he burdened about in our country? We have to know what's on his heart. And I believe that this young generation, these young adults, are on his heart. I believe that. I believe that he's raising up all of us to go and get them. That's what he's doing tonight. He wants each generation to be functioning in his kingdom. He wants each of us to have a part in his body of Christ. You know, in Isaiah, remember, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. See, this kingdom has to keep excelling. This kingdom has to excel. What happens when we miss a whole generation? It's not going to excel. There's going to be a hiccup. There's going to be a do-over. And you know what? God will do that because he's faithful, but that's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to be. So we have got to make sure we don't stop. We don't leave them behind. We don't lose that fire for that generation. The next thing that happened when Moses was there at the burning bush in Exodus 3:3, it says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Will we turn towards God? Moses had to make a choice. He had the next move. The glory was there. God was there showing himself to Moses. Moses had to make a choice to stop where he was going and turn towards the glory of God. What does that mean? It means he walked away from some things. He had to leave his direction, his goal, his purpose, and he had to walk towards the glory of God. But what did he leave? What do we have to leave tonight to pursue his passion for our life, to pursue the glory of God? What do we have to walk away from? There's so many things in our life that tries to turn us away from the glory. And this is funny because I was actually talking to my son Dominic. Some of you know him. He's at Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And it's Bible college, man. He is on this Bible college high. It's like he's loving Jesus. They do worship nights almost every other night. Well, this past weekend, he had 50 hours of continual prayer and worship. And I like looked at the tweet again. I'm like, 50 hours? Like straight? When do you eat? Like, where do you sleep? And I'm like confused, you know? But But he was telling me, "Oh, Mom, it's awesome. We got to do this when we get home, and I'm gonna do this." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm going home and go to bed, right? Because I'm not 20 in Bible college, right? Like, I got laundry to do. I got to feed my kids, you know? I mean, but life comes at us. And unless we're in Bible college, we can't pursue this. We can't turn and walk toward this glory 24/7. But it should always be where we're going. It should always be where we're headed, right? Even if it's, we got a basketball game to go to, moms, right? We got a basketball game, and we got to do this. We can't pray and worship all day. But you know what? It's where I'm going. I'm worshiping. This is our focus and our family. We have worship music on in the car. We're praying for the game. We're going home. We're thanking God for health. I mean, it's always where we're going. It's always where we're heading. And it takes work. It's harder to do life and the glory than it is to go to Bible college. Yeah, I'll go to Bible college and worship Jesus all day, right? But that's not the season of life we're all in. But we have to, as much as possible, go into the direction of this glory. That's why music is so important. And I'm not a proponent of all secular music is bad. I don't necessarily believe that. But I choose to always be moving towards the glory. I mean, like, I don't have enough time in here to have to wash away the memories of that movie I shouldn't have been watching. Like, I don't. I have to move towards the glory. I have to turn to him and always give him access to my life. Right? So that's what we need to do. But look what happens next. In verse 4 and 5, so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not draw near to this place." What? God's telling him to stop? What's going on? What is that all about? There are some things that God had to do. He had to tell him, wait a minute, there's some things that have to come off first. Because he's so holy and the glory is so strong that we can't bring everything with us. He said, take your sandals off. Now, his sandals were probably made of leather, and so that, like, signifies, you know, the man, the flesh that we carry with us. And so when we encounter God, we have to allow some things to fall off, some things that don't belong in our lives. It's for our own good that he says, stop, hold on. And some of us might even be in that holding place. Before he can use you to be a deliverer, are you in that holding place? You gotta allow these things to fall off. And guess what? It's free. And it doesn't take a lot of work. It's the blood of Jesus, allowing the blood of Jesus to cover us and in his grace walk every day without our shoes on. Right? Pursuing the glory in a life that's holy and acceptable to him. Corporately, I believe we need to do this. You know, God always looks at individuals, but he also looks at the corporate church body. I believe that corporately, what we do individually affects the corporate body. And that's real important too. There's some things we have to take off. And I don't have to get real specific with that because the Holy Spirit will tell you. You know, he doesn't yell and scream a lot, but he'll tell you. If you're honest, he'll tell you what needs to come off. In Romans 6, 1 to 2, this is just a backup for that. It talks about, well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? You know, this is a dangerous word right there because of the season of grace being poured out into the church. And I believe in grace. I'm thankful for it because when I try my best and I mess up, which is going to happen, his grace covers me. And that's what it's all about. But I can't walk under grace and continue to have my shoes on. I just can't do it. It doesn't work that way. So when Moses had given God his attention, he turned towards him and he removed the things that held him back. Then look what happened. God renewed his covenant and revealed himself as the God of the generations. And that happened in chapter 3, verse 6. It says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. He said, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I believe that that moment, he realized that this was such a bigger picture than he ever imagined. That his God, the one that was speaking to him personally, was the God of history. And that he had come to this moment and gave him a job to do. If we begin to see our part as something so big, man, it's so much easier to act. It's so much easier to be bold. It's so much easier to be passionate about the kingdom and speaking to somebody that we run into at the store or speaking up here, which I don't like to do, right? Like, if it was up to me, I'd be like, no, thank you, Troy, you got this. It's uncomfortable. But when we see the bigger picture, it's okay if we're uncomfortable. It doesn't matter anymore because it's not about us. You know, I always used to hide behind, but I'm self-conscious. That's horrible. I can't be self-conscious. We can't be self-conscious. We have to be God-conscious. We have to understand that he's doing a work in this earth and that we have an opportunity and we're blessed to be a part of it. And that's what Moses understood at that moment. He understood what generational synergy was, that he was about to link arms with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and do God's purpose in the earth at that time by freeing the people from the Egyptians. Vince Lombardi said, individual commitment to a group effort is what makes a team work, business work, a family work, and a church work. If we are missing one of you, part of our team is gone. And we do feel the effects of it. We do, believe it or not. A lot of people, this is the new thing of this generation, you know. It's like we go to all these different churches. And I love seeing all these different churches. I love going to different services and getting fed places that I don't have to work at, right? And just seeing how they do things. And I agree with that. But one church needs you. Like, one of us needs you to serve. One of us needs you to reach some kids. One of us needs you to worship on our worship team. Like, we need that. That's what the synergy is all about. In Exodus 3:16, and I'm going to show you at this point, this is so cool, because I never saw this before, where the generational synergy worked with Moses. In 3:16, it says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me. Moses was commanded to go to his elders and get them on his team. This is powerful, guys. This is powerful. This is not just a job for our 17 young people that are here. This is a job for all of us. We have got to learn how to work together. And I'm going to show you something. In my study of generational synergy, they talk a lot about succession. It's a hard word to say. And for so many years, I believe we've concentrated and focused on succession. And it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with succession. But I'm going to show you something really powerful. I need somebody. Faith, come here. Faith's going to help me. Faith, you are going to be my successor, okay? And then, Jordan, come here. You're going to be Faith's successor. So you stand there, okay? And so we are going to pass the baton, okay? So I'm passing it to you. Okay. Now, that works, right? That works. But what if she drops it? Here, give it to me. There's nobody else there to pick it up. That's what I'm seeing with the young adult generation. We need more. We need a bigger team. We need more of us. So now look what happens with generational synergy. We don't run one at a time. We run as one. So I'm the elder. And Faith, we're going to go this way. And Faith, you're going to represent the young adult. And Jordan, you're going to represent the teenager, okay? And now we're running as one. We're doing this together. I'm not waiting until I get done, and then finally I'm going to pass on my calling to Faith. We're doing this together. Let's turn around and walk this way. We all have a job to do. It's not just my job. And then when Faith gets to be a certain age, it's her job. And then when Jordan gets to be a certain age, it's his job. No, that's not how it works. Generational synergy runs together as one. We do it together. Thank you, guys. I believe that that's what God wants to do. Isn't that good? And that's what happened with Moses. Look at Exodus 3:18. It says, Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. Moses took the elders with him. He had backup. They were They were together. And they went to the king together, unified. That's a good word. All right, this concept is so important. And it says it in the Bible in Malachi 4:6. The scripture verse has always kind of bothered me a little bit, actually. But, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, the first part, the hearts of the fathers to the children. I believe that God is calling the fathers to turn towards their children. And in that word turn, you can find the actions of to give attention to. Fathers, we need to give attention to this younger generation. We need to give our interest. What do you think? What are you interested in? What kind of music do you like? Right? Even if it's loud. What way does your generation reach each other? How do you communicate? We need to give interest. We need to give understanding. Man, I remember the first time I tried to take notes on my iPhone, I felt like the biggest sinner in the world, right? And I think we've gotten freed from that. But for a while, it was like, oh my gosh, they're on their phone. But that's an understanding. You know, we understand that that's how they take notes. That's how they read their Bible. That's how they do everything. That's how they eat. That's how they sleep, right? No. But that understanding is important. This is the biggest one. Validation. Man, when you can get validated by your father, oh my gosh, it can take you to a place you never even imagined yourself going. And I have so many examples in my life when my dad did this for me. I was stuck in a job I didn't want to be in. I just was bored and whatever. And we had a need for a daycare administrator. And he's like, Mary, I see that in you. I want you to do it. And I'm like, I can't do that. Oh my gosh, I can't do that. You know, I was young. He's like, yes, you can. And I thought, I can. I can do that. Fathers, we have to validate those gifts that we see in this generation. Say, I see, Caitlin, I see a gift of art in you. That art that can express God's heart. I see this in you. We have to get to know them and pull out those gifts and validate. Even today I did this. I'll be real transparent. I did it. I was so scared to send my dad my message. I was like, oh, he's going to think I'm so stupid. Because I don't make a cute little outline. Like, I type everything out. And so I'm sure he was like, oh my gosh, because he does it his way, right? So it was already, just to hit send, I was like so vulnerable. But you know what he did? Like 5 minutes later, he had like this whole page of suggestions and saying, me and mom prayed for you. We believe you're going to do well. I see this. I like this. Go get them. And I felt validated. I felt like, okay, now I can do this. I can do this now. Man, fathers, we can propel this generation to a new level by validating them. Now, sons, it's your turn. Daughters, it's your turn. The hearts of the children have to turn towards the fathers. I believe we do this in honoring them. Our elders, our fathers have been through stuff. They've fought battles that we haven't even gotten to yet. And they've come out full of faith. And that's a big deal. So we need to honor them because of that. We need to honor them for the work of the kingdom that they have done for so many years. That's our job, is to show them that honor. We need to pursue them. We need to go after them. Say, what do you have for me? What can I learn from you? Can I just be around you? Can I just take you to lunch and listen to you? There's a couple elderly ladies in Lorraine that don't get out much anymore, but if you go to their house, it's like so cool. You can hear about their missions trips years ago. You can hear about their jobs and their husbands and their, like, husband and all of the different things that have gone on in their life. And it's so rich. It's so rich. But we need to pursue them in that. We need to serve them. That's a hard one to swallow, right? But we do. We need to see how we can serve them. My dad, again, has been such an example of that. He would serve. He would look for a father and serve them. Dr. Summerall, he'd serve them any way he could. He'd carry his Bible. He'd go and just sit next to him and say, anything you need, right? We need to do that. We need to see that. And one other thing is we need to give back to them. This comes in a place where, you know, your parents give, 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 give. And I'm actually at this place right now. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I need to give to you now. Stop. And I actually have to tell my parents to stop. Stop. I should be giving to you. And that should be our heart. There's a point where we need to give back. We need to give to our fathers. Now this, the last part of the verse. Okay, one more thing. I can't forget this because this was so good. The prodigal son, when he was leaving his father's home, what did he say? Give me. Give me my inheritance. Give me, give me, give me. Okay? When he became broken and he messed up and he knew it and he went back, what did he say? He said, make me. Make me a servant. And that's the heart we need to have towards our fathers and mothers, is make me what you see in my life. There's an old word called guild. And this was something my dad helped me with. But I'm going to use it because it was good. A guild is like a club or a group of people that come together and sit and submit to an apprenticeship. So a master craftsman would show them the work of the trade, would school them and you know, disciple them into what they wanted to become. And so we need to get back to that guild. We need to get back. Now, the last part of this verse, it says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That word is so strong. It's like curse. And I was studying it because I really wanted something different, right? But I saw this one word in my studies, and it was forfeit. Man, when we don't turn towards each other, we're going to forfeit what God wants to do in this last days, in this generation. My kids have played baseball since they were five. So that's like 15 years of like four games a week. It's crazy. I am a serious baseball mom, right? And so I know that if the team doesn't show up, what happens? They forfeit. If our team, all of us, doesn't show up for this game, right? We're going to forfeit what God wants to do in this land. We're going to forfeit what God wants to do in Cleveland. We've got to show up and do this together. We can't just put this off on a younger generation. Oh, go reach your friends. No, it's all of our responsibility. It's all of our responsibility to reach the 4 and 5-year-olds too. It's all of our responsibility to hold things together and let the kingdom be established in this area. And this is the cool thing that happened in Exodus 3:12. God said to Moses, this is your sign that I'm the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. His sign was that they would worship together. God said, I am going to bless you by you being able to worship together at this mountain in my presence. Man, that's what we need. We need to all worship together. A couple years ago, we came back from a retreat, which, by the way, let me just plug this really quick. We have a retreat coming in February. These are powerful for your teenager. So if you, I'm just saying, you got to get them here. Whatever you have to do, okay? Whatever you have to do, you got to get them there. It's at Kalahari, too, man. They're not going to fight you, trust me. Kalahari is awesome. In February, Yeah, it's going to be nice. So anyways, but a couple years ago, when we came back from a retreat, there was such a mighty move of God. And the coolest part about it was that it wasn't just in youth group. It happened a little bit at the retreat that morning, but the majority of it happened right here with all of us here worshiping. And it was so powerful. Does anybody remember that? There was such a powerful energy, and it made me excited about the kingdom because I saw our youth on fire for God. And so, see, we feed off of each other. When we see young people passionate about God, we do that. We just want more and more. So we need to focus on not succession, but synergy, running together. See, when we do this, my dad's ceiling, where he leaves us, is going to be where I keep going. And when I keep going, and Dion's with me, when I'm done in the ministry, Dion's going to keep going. And this is where we see that ever-increasing kingdom of God established on this earth. And this is how heaven is found in earth. As in heaven? No, in heaven? How does it say? On earth as it is in heaven. Sorry. So tonight we're seeking and turning towards the glory of God for his heart and direction to win a generation. You know, we're in the planning stages of the young adult ministry here. We've done things. Troy had a very successful young adult ministry and then moved on to assistant pastor. And we've had all of these different ideas. But I believe that God wants to do something unique with our ministry. He wants to do something that will set a tone in this area, in this region. It's happening in our worship. I believe it's going to happen in this area too. And I think that we all just need to come together and seek God's face about this. We have clipboards here, and I'm going to pass them around after the service. Oh, how we're going to do that. You know what? We'll put them at the doors. How's that? And they're just, if you're a young adult, if you're one of those 17, sign the clipboards. Let us get in contact with you so that we can get your feedback. We want to talk to you about how to reach your generation. But we intentionally need to create some generational synergy. We need to make a commitment to generational synergy. I was thinking earlier, how could I do this? How could I? I can go in and pursue my elders, right? I can look for gifts in the young people and the young adults and validate those things in them. So that's what my heart is. That's what my goal is tonight. Maybe you're here and you feel like God has said, wait a minute, stop. Maybe we need to get some things off, right? Maybe we need to take our shoes off and allow him to employ us in this great call for this region and these young adults. I believe he wants to do a lot tonight. I believe as we worship, where are you guys? I saw them go out. As we worship, we're going to sing that song, I Will Pursue You Again. And we're just going to ask God to show us what our part is, to show us how to make a difference, how to connect, or maybe show us what things need to come off. So dear Heavenly Father, God, as we close tonight, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that at this moment you would speak to our hearts. As we pursue you, God, as we turn to you and we walk away from some things that maybe we were headed in the wrong direction, God, we're pursuing you. We're seeking your face, wanting to understand your purpose on this earth. I pray that you would speak, Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to the altar to just seek his face tonight, to go after his glory tonight. You know, the kingdom of God needs all of us. There may be a few of us that aren't right with God, and we know that. But it's that salvation and that grace and that blood that covers us and makes us right with him, like that. Doesn't take us doing anything but submitting our hearts to him. So the altars are open tonight. And if you need prayer, there'll even be a few of us up here to pray with you. But let's just pursue his presence before we leave and make a renewed commitment to this generational synergy tonight.
Open my eyes, open my eyes. search me inside. And I can't live without your presence. I can't live without your presence.
I can't live.
I can't live without your presence. I can't live without your presence.
Generation, God, that each one of us in here has a part to play, God, that you would begin to reveal, God, even people tomorrow that they are able and called to reach, God, in discipleship, in validating those gifts, God, and even just witnessing, Father, to a person that we might not know, God, to bring that young adult generation in, Father. We speak life to that generation right now. We speak life to that young adult generation right now, and we call them back into your kingdom. God, we thank you, Father, that gifts are coming from them. God, that power is coming from them, that healing through you, Jesus, as they walk in your power and your healing, that, God, this nation is going to change. There's going to be a renewed revival, God, as you pour into us and as we go and reach. As we reach others for you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to burn in our hearts, Holy Spirit, as we seek your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for being here. Hey, if you're a young adult, everybody is welcome. But specifically, if you're a young adult, we want to meet you. There's coffee and cookies and stuff in the cafe. But if you know a young adult, too, we want to pursue them and get them involved. Good night.